welcome to Study Your Way with DSA, our new University of Lincoln student wellbeing podcast. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam, and we'll be looking at a variety of topics over the coming months.
On today's podcast, we're looking at something that affects many students when they're applying for additional support at university, and that is Disabled Students Allowance, or DSA. But although the world of Disabled Students Allowance may seem confusing, there's no need to be afraid. Today we're going to be giving you some clarification about what DSA is and how to navigate the minefield of abbreviations. We'll talk about what DSA is, how to apply for it, and what to expect after you've applied. We'll also explain the mystery of what a needs assessment is and the process of actually getting the support you need.
So let's make a start. One, so what is a Disabled Students Allowances, or DSA as it is often called?
DSA is government funding which may be provided to support you with your academic difficulties as a direct result of your diagnosed disability, specific learning difference, or medical condition. DSA pays for assistive technology, human support, and additional costs you have as a result of your difficulties. You do not need to pay any DSA funding back, and you do not need to return any equipment back to the suppliers or your funding authority at the end of your programme of study. Any equipment approved is yours to keep at the end of your course. When DSA is approved, no actual money is supplied to you, as any equipment or human support is paid for directly by your funding authority, and this comes out of your DSA allowance.
2. So who can apply for DSA?
Most DSAs are managed and funded through a funding authority called Student Finance England, if you live in England. However, there are other funding authorities for DSA depending on where your home address is. You may be eligible for DSA if you have a physical or mental impairment that has a substantial and long-term negative effect on your ability to do normal daily activities. These may include a diagnosis or diagnoses of a learning difference, for example, dyslexia or ADHD, a mental health condition like anxiety or depression, a physical disability, for example, if you're partially sighted or have to use crutches, a long-term health condition such as cancer, chronic heart disease or HIV, an autistic spectrum disorder or Asperger's syndrome.
3. And what do DSAs pay for then?
Examples of what DSAs might pay for include assistive technology and specialist equipment, for example, a computer if you need one because of your disability, assistive technology training to enable effective use of equipment, non-medical help support, so support workers such as specialist mentor or specialist one-to-one study support worker, extra travel costs because of your disability, or other disability-related costs of studying.
4. So what do I need to do when applying for DSA?
When you apply for DSA, you must send evidence of your diagnosis with the application. The evidence must state that you have a physical, sensory, or mental disability which has a substantial and long-term adverse effect on your ability to carry out normal day-to-day activities. Alternative evidence may be for a specific learning difference, like dyslexia, so a photocopy of a diagnostic assessment from a practitioner psychologist or suitably qualified specialist teacher is usually acceptable.
5. And what happens after I have applied for DSA?
After you've applied for DSA, sometime later after your application has been processed by your funding authority, so for example, Student Finance England, you'll be informed by your funding authority by email whether or not your application and evidence has been accepted for DSA. This email will be sent to the email address your funding authority has on record for you. This email is in the form of a letter and commonly known as a DSA 1. This letter is really important as you'll need it to go on to the next stage of the DSA process, so please keep it safe in your emails or print a copy. If your application has been declined, your funding authority will let you know why and what you need to do. When your application has been accepted for DSA, your funding authority will advise you in your DSA 1 letter about what to do. If your DSA application has been accepted, your DSA 1 letter will state which medical conditions, disabilities, or learning differences have been accepted for DSA. It will also advise you about the 3 steps of what will happen next, which are 1. You need to book a needs assessment at an assessment centre of your choice. 2. You should attend the needs assessment appointment given to you by the assessment centre and discuss with the needs assessor the disability-related support that you need for your academic studies. The needs assessor makes the recommendations and writes a report which they send to you and to your funding authority for their consideration and approval. Your funding authority reviews the recommendations in the report and sends you an email with their final decision and approval of support. This letter by email is commonly called a DSA 2 or Notification of Entitlement. This letter is also really important as you need it to go on to the next stage of the DSA process, So again, keep it safe in your emails or print a copy.
6. What exactly is a needs assessment then?
Needs assessments are really just a meeting with a needs assessor. They're nothing to worry about and there's nothing you need to do to prepare for it. Your Needs Assessment Centre, or NAC as it's sometimes called, will advise you about whether it's appropriate for you to be accompanied by a relative or a friend. When you book a needs assessment, the assessment centre will advise you about what paperwork you need to provide before your assessment. It's very important that you supply the assessment centre with this information before your needs assessment, as it's needed by the assessor and your assessment may be cancelled if you do not provide it before your assessment. Your assessment may take between 1 to 3 hours and will give you the opportunity to talk to the needs assessor about what you find difficult as a result of your learning difference, medical condition, or disability. The meeting will cover any difficulties you may have with different academic activities. Some assistive technology will be discussed and demonstrated to you, such as text-to-speech software, mind mapping software, and note-taking solutions. Don't worry about not remembering information and recommendations in the needs assessment. The information is written up in a needs assessment report, of which you get a copy.
7. Can you tell me what happens after my needs assessment?
Your needs assessor has 10 working days to write up their findings and recommendations in a report and send a copy to you. They will also send a copy to your funding authority, for example, Student Finance England, for their approval. This is known as a needs assessment report, or NAR. You'll be given the opportunity of receiving a draft copy of your report before the final copy is sent to your funding authority for approval. Your needs assessor will explain this process to you if you want to receive a draft copy. Your NAR will be sent to you by post or password protected email. If you're a University of Lincoln student, a learning support plan, or LSP, outlining reasonable adjustments to be considered for you will be made available to your school's administrator and academics in the university.
8. So when do I get my DSA support?
A few weeks after your needs assessment meeting, once your funding authority has considered and approved the recommendations in your report, you'll receive a notification of entitlement letter by email from your funding authority. This is more commonly known as a DSA-2. This confirms the equipment and support allowances you're entitled to and paid for through DSA and states your specialist equipment allowance, non-medical helpers allowance, and general allowances. It will also state the contact details for each supplier.
9. How do I go about arranging the support then?
To arrange your DSA support outlined in the DSA-2 letter, you contact each individual supplier and send them a copy of your DSA-2. They need this as it identifies you by your customer reference number and it proves that your support has been approved by your funding authority. So, that's given you a pretty clear overview of how to apply for DSA through to attending a needs assessment and arranging your support. We'd also like to give you some quick top tips to think about so that you stand the best chance of obtaining your DSA support. Please just think about, have I supplied the right evidence with my application? Have I received and saved my DSA-1 letter sent to me by email? Which assessment centre should I book my needs assessment with? Have I made a note of the date and time of my needs assessment appointment? Have I sent all the necessary documents to the needs assessment centre? After my needs assessment, have I received and saved my DSA-2 letter sent by email? After receiving my DSA-2 letter, have I contacted the suppliers to arrange my support?
This all sounds really straightforward, right? Well, if you're still confused or need additional information about DSA,
the information given today can be found on our website, where you'll also be able to find our contact details and drop-in times. If you have any worries, questions or concerns, please come and see us and have a chat with one of our advisors. Student Wellbeing can support you with the whole DSA process, from application through to giving you advice about how to arrange your DSA support. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.